Exodus chapter 20. We had a week off, if you will, from our series on the Ten Commandments. Now, Brother Coates spoke last week in this time slot, and so we'll pick it up with commandment number 7. Commandment number 7, and the theme of this commandment is keeping purity. Keeping purity. And I will be taking 2 weeks on this commandment, and so we'll do part of it today, and God willing, the second part of it next Sunday. There is no way this one would be covered in 1 week, and probably should have done that with a couple others, but that's all right. So look at verse 14. It's not a very long verse. Exodus 20, verse 14 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have the Bible. Thank you for giving us as Christians the Holy Spirit inside of us to help us to understand Scripture, and not only to understand it, but then to live it in our life. And really, as believers, we have no excuse for not obeying the Word of God. We have every resource that we should be obeying the Word of God consistently. And I pray, God, that you would help us as we look at this seventh commandment, that you would challenge each and every one here and online with regards to keeping pure. In Jesus' name, amen. The marriage relationship is one that God created. We talked about that several weeks ago on our afternoon service, if you remember us speaking about that, and you were watching or you were in person, we spoke about that. This means that because God instituted the marriage relationship, this means that the enemy of God, who is Satan himself, is going to attempt to destroy the marriage relationship. Anything and everything that God creates and God loves, Satan wants to destroy, and Satan hates. So we have one enemy today. I think most of you know that. We have one enemy today, okay? It is Satan himself. He is our one enemy. And when it comes to purity, he is doing everything he can to help you and help me to break this seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, before you think that you have this envisionment of what adultery is, let's set that aside, because quite possibly it's not just what you think it is, but it involves a whole lot more than that as well. And I think we'll find that from the Word of God. So what God loves, the devil hates. I might say today that this is a very serious and a very sensitive of the commandments. It is very serious and it is very sensitive as well. Now, think about the church. Did God start the local church? Yes, he did. The Bible says that Jesus Christ shed his blood for the church. He loves the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the home, God instituted the home. God instituted government. God instituted the church. And Satan hates all three of them. And Satan hates you. And Satan hates me. And so we need to get that in our mind. And really, that's really the battle today of this subject of purity. And that is in the mind. We are studying this seventh commandment today. Why did God provide marriage? God provided marriage to provide companionship and intimacy for a husband and a wife. Here's something to think about here. One article, this is a quote, one article reported that while the grass on the other side of the fence may start off green, it usually ends up brown. According to the article, 75 to 85% of all men who have had an affair end up staying with or returning to their wives. Of those who do divorce, only 15% marry the woman with whom they had the marriage-wrecking affair. Now, these are numbers that to me, as a Christian and as someone who fears God, and I hope that's you, these are very startling numbers. In other words, an affair which is not part of God's plan, and I'm kind of giving you something here to think about in the beginning, and we're going to continue in the Word of God here in just a moment. It promises an adventure that only delivers destruction and grief. Think about it. It promises adventure, but what does it deliver? It doesn't deliver adventure. It delivers destruction and grief. And remember, what is Satan's goal? Satan's goal is destruction. Now, by the way, if you are single, this commandment is for you as much as it is for someone who's married. Because again, adultery is not just a physical act. And we'll look at that in just a moment. In order to keep pure, we must guard what cannot be seen. I look at you today and I cannot see what needs to be guarded in your life in order to remain pure. You look at me and you can't see in me what needs to be guarded in order to remain pure. What is it? It is the mind. Go with me, if you will, to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 5. Thou shalt not commit adultery, keeping pure. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5, we read, as again, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and we read in verse 27, Matthew 5 and 27, the Bible says, "Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time." Sorry, I read 26. It's supposed to be 27 and 28. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." Does that sound familiar? That's right from Exodus 20. So Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament, verifying the inspiration, verifying the Word of God Himself by quoting from the very words that we're reading just a moment ago. Verse number 28. Now don't miss this. "But I say unto you," I want you to underline that in your Bible, or if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, or underline it in your heart, "but I say unto you." So Jesus said, you've heard from the prophets of old, and you've heard from Moses back in Exodus chapter 20, and your grandpa and your grandpa's grandpa and your grandpa's grandpa, they've been telling you all along to, you know, these Ten Commandments. And Jesus says, you've been hearing about it, and it's true, but he says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman," whosoever looketh on a woman, Bible says, Jesus said, "to lust after her hath committed," what's the next word, church? Adultery. Physically? No. Look what it says. "Hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Most of the time, when you read the word heart in the Bible, it is not speaking of that organ in your body that pumps blood through your body. We hope it's continuing to pump blood right now, or else you will not be alive, or I will not be alive. It is not speaking of the heart in sense of our physical body. It's speaking of our mind, the seat of our emotions. And so Jesus says, you've heard about this your whole life. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And he says, I want to add something to that. If anybody can add something to that, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you need to guard your heart, because if you look on a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery in your heart, whether you've committed it physically or not. Around every corner, listen carefully, around every corner and on every screen, there are attempts to destroy your purity. Around every corner and on every screen, there are attempts to destroy our purity. Now, this lesson is meant to equip me and you for the battle. Because I will tell you right now, this battle will never end until we are in heaven, and it's the battle for purity. Now, Jesus Christ has won the battles, right? He's won the victory. Remember when he said, and he died on the cross, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So I'm not saying that you and I have to fight the battle, but we have to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ to have victory over our minds. And that reliance is every single day. And that reliance is not just once a day, but it's all throughout the day. So it is meant to equip me. It is meant to equip us for the battle of purity. This lesson will give us the tools we need to build a fortress around our mind. We need to build a fortress around our mind in order to obey this seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. I want to give you two terms that we find in the Word of God. Would you write these down, please, if you're taking notes? Number one is this term adultery. Adultery. What is adultery? Adultery is someone who is married having a physical relationship with someone else who is not their spouse. In addition to that, it can be, as Jesus said, and actually I'll touch on it later. I don't know if I'll get to it today or not, but it does not have to be physical. It can also be emotional. The relationship of husband and wife should fulfill every need. Physical, spiritual, emotional. And if anyone goes outside of the marriage to have a need met, it's adultery. Number two is the term fornication. Fornication. Would you write that term down? Fornication. What is fornication? Two unmarried people having a physical relationship. By the way, sex is a beautiful word, and it is not a bad word. Okay? Let's just get that out of the open right now. Don't let Satan take something that God created that is beautiful and destroy it. That's what he's attempting to do. Okay? And so God has given us that part of the relationship, both the physical side, the intimacy side, and the companionship side of the relationship. Both of these sins, adultery and fornication, begin in the mind. Again, we must guard our minds. All right, let me give you several things. At least we'll get one main point covered this morning. It may be a three-weeker, who knows. Number one, God's purpose for marriage. God's purpose for marriage. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. The first reason God created marriage, and I've talked about it already, is this word companionship. Companionship. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Just a moment ago, I made this statement, and I would like to make it again. Marriage is designed to meet spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. Spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. Husbands and wives, now this is going to be the deepest, this is going to be the most shocking news flash of the day. Husbands and wives have different needs. You don't even look shocked. Wow, you already knew that. Husbands and wives have different needs. But every need that we have should be met within the marriage. I need to figure out what my wife needs. She needs to figure out what I need. We are to learn to meet the needs of our spouse. We are to study one another. Every need my spouse has should be met within the marriage. Every need your spouse has should be met within the marriage. This is how God ordained it to be. Now remember, whatever God does, Satan wants to destroy. Whatever God creates, Satan wants to destroy. He wants to get in. When a husband or wife steps outside of the marriage to get their needs met, even emotional needs, they are stepping outside of the will of God, headed toward a very dangerous place. It's unfaithfulness, and it ends in destruction every time. Proverbs 6 and 32. Would you go with me there, please? Proverbs 6 and 32. God's purpose for marriage. Number one, companionship. Companionship. Again, this is not a message for only married people. This is a lesson for all of us today. God says, don't commit adultery. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, don't commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you look after a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery already in your heart. Bible says in Proverbs 6 and 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Wow. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? We must learn to meet one another's needs and stay faithful. God's purpose for marriage is number one, companionship. Number two, intimacy. Intimacy. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, one woman and one man for life. This is God's plan for marriage. All right, so it's November 1st. It's November 1st, and you know whether or not you're married, okay? And so if you are married today online, if you are married here in person, the wife or the husband that you are married to them for life. That's the way God ordained it to be. And we need to follow God's plan. This isn't a lesson on divorce. This is a lesson on purity. Moral impurity, God judges it. As God judges all sin. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. God created marriage. The purpose God created it for? Companionship. Secondly, God created marriage for intimacy. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4. The Bible says there, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. So you have, you're married, and so because you're married, the Bible says the bed is not undefiled. So the intimacy within marriage, that's where it's allowed. You're married, so therefore the physical union within marriage is beautiful. It is wonderful. It is what God has created for us. But then notice what he says at the second half, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. I tell you what, I don't think I would want to be on the list to be judged by God, would you? I don't want to be on the list to be judged by God. The Bible takes it very seriously here about this sin of impurity. The physical union within a marriage is meant to strengthen the existing love that is already there. Did you hear that? The physical union within marriage is meant to strengthen the existing relationship that is already there, the existing love. We are seeking to unite spirit, soul, and body. And what is the enemy trying to do? Divide it all up. Divide it all up. His tactics continue to be more and more and more and more accessible. In other words, the pressure is on for you and for me to violate the seventh commandment, which can lead in destruction of a home. Purity. So remember, we said God's purpose for marriage. Well then, if God has a purpose for marriage, number two, Satan has a plan for it as well. Number two, Satan's plan against marriage. Against it. Marriage is definitely a target of Satan. The family is on his radar. You are on his radar, sir, if you're married. Ma'am, you are on his radar. Well, you're on his radar, period. Single or married, it doesn't matter. But when it comes to the marriage and the union that is made before God, Satan is wanting to attack it and destroy it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He is a destroyer. Number one, Satan's plan against marriage. Number one, Satan lies to destroy. John 8, would you go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8? John 8. I don't know what the numbers are, and I'm not saying this to make some big statement, but I don't know what the numbers are, but I just want to say this today, really of great concern, and that is this, that this topic needs to be covered in every Bible-preaching church. You say, I don't understand. Why. What's the big deal? I mean, we're in church. I mean, you know what? The church is not and never has been immune to this command being broken. In fact, the church, we have seen, we have read, we have witnessed this command has been broken time and time again within Bible-preaching churches. Why? Because the devil is not, he's not concerned about what kind of church you go to. He's not concerned about whether you read the King James Bible or not. He doesn't care. He's not concerned about how you tie your tie. He wants to destroy your marriage, and he wants to destroy your home. And he's doing it subtly. Where almost now it is in our face all the time, everywhere we go. Not that we are committing adultery, but there is the temptation that is so, no, I guess maybe not even subtle anymore. It's just in your face. John 8:44, don't be deceived by the enemy. We have an enemy, and our enemy is out to deceive. The Bible says in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Would you mark that in your Bible? There is no truth in him. That means anything that comes out of his mouth is what? It's a lie. There's no truth in him at all. Anything he's trying to peddle, it's deception. Anything he's trying to sell, it's no good. Stay away from it. There's no truth in it. Wow. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Satan lies to destroy. Let me give you three specific lies that Satan is using, and this is probably where we'll have to stop and pick it up next week. Number one, Satan's three lies that Satan is using. Number one, sex is a private matter between two people. It's not hurting anybody else, so does it really matter? In other words, you know, let me give you the second lie. We should be free from Christian repression. We should be able to live freely with no moral restraints. Are we not there in 2020? No morality. You just do whatever we want. You know why? Because God has been totally kicked out of our society today. And when God is kicked out, we can live. And I'm saying we. I'm saying that in a broad. I'm not saying us here. But society itself, as soon as God's kicked out, then society can live however society wants to live. Because they are their own God. Making the rules, calling the shots. That's totally against the Word of God. And may we as Christians today, and whether you're listening here online or here in person, may we not get our advice from the world. May we get our advice and our counsel from the Word of God. We need a revolution, not a revolution, we need a revival of purity. And it begins with you, and it begins with me building a guard around our mind. There are at least 29 sexually transmitted diseases. Let's see, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt anybody else. Millions of unwed mothers live on welfare. It doesn't hurt anybody else. This is more talking about fornication now, by the way. Abortion on demand is everywhere, but it doesn't hurt anybody else. Just do whatever I want, live with however I want to live, because I can just go into the, I don't even want to use the word doctor. I can go into the individual, and he can just erase what happened when I had that immoral relationship. That one-night stand, whatever you want to call it. You know what? That's the lie of the devil. It does hurt other people. It does affect other people. It is damaging to other people. An article by Dr. Francis Bracelin, the former president of the American Psychiatric Association, indicated a growing problem of stress and emotional breakdown related to promiscuity amongst teens. More teens are living promiscuous lifestyles than ever before. They are not becoming happier, but more depressed and burdened with a load of sin. I can just do whatever I want. I can live however I want. And look, there is no teen, there is no adult, there is no one here today that can take the load of guilt of sin on their life and say, I've got the joy of the Lord. No. Impossible. Yes, God forgives. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of God. This isn't just taking the forgiveness of God and putting it aside. But what it is doing, it's lifting up this command in the Word of God, this seventh commandment, and saying, don't commit adultery. Guard your mind. The lie of the devil, it isn't going to bring what it says it's going to bring, what he says it's going to bring. The third lie is that we need to discover our sexual identity. Satan wants to use what God created to be used to fulfill selfish desires. Satan's lies pervert a beautiful gift. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What's God's will for my life? There's one of them right there, clearly laid out. Your sanctification. Remember what it means to be sanctified? It means to be set apart. It means to becoming more like Christ. So it's God's will that you and I, as Christians, be more like Christ, to be sanctified. Notice that you should abstain from, what's the word there in your Bible? Fornication. You know what that tells me? That tells me this. You should not be having a sexual relationship with anyone until you're married, and then it should only be with your wife or with your husband for the rest of your life. That's what it says right here in the Bible. Abstain from it. God is against this term that is used today. God is against shacking up. You know what that means? God is against a man and a woman living together under the same roof, having a physical relationship, or even living together. Believe me, you're not living together and not having a physical relationship. I would find that hard to believe. God is against that. Why? Because that is fornication. They are not married. They haven't given the vows. They haven't been married in the sight of a holy God. God says, no, that's fornication. Abstain from it. And again, that situation right there that I just talked about, again, I don't know what the numbers are. I don't want to read a lot about this stuff, quite frankly. It doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do any good for my mind. So I don't, some certain subjects I'm only going to read a little bit about, and this is one of them. But I know this, that talk about epidemics, that's an epidemic in spiritual terms. People living together, lost people living together, they don't know any better. But even Christians sometimes, I can live with so-and-so, we got to figure out if we're compatible. What kind of lie is that? I'll tell you what kind of lie it is. It's the lie of John 8:44. It's the lie of the devil. Satan wants to use what God created. Oh, let's keep reading. Sorry. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. You know what that means? It's not a ship. It's talking about your body. It's talking about my body. That everyone would know how to possess his vessel. How? In sanctification. In honor. Wow. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto what? Uncleanness, but unto holiness. Oh, we need a revival today in this area of purity. We need a revival of holiness. Satan's lies to destroy, and then Satan, you know what? I'm just going to stop right there, and then let's just bow our heads right now. Let's bow our heads right now. Pastor's going to have to stop. Let's stop right there.